Have you ever felt like God was really pushing you to move outside your comfort zone? That for some unfathomable reason, God was like a skydiving instructor pushing you out of the safety of the airplane and out the door that led to a 12,500-foot drop to the earth? If so, you can probably really relate to Jonah. Jonah had a rough time, especially to hear him tell it. Unfortunately, we only have the second half of Jonah's story today, because it's a really great story. Probably many of you have been regaled with the first half of the Jonah saga since you were children sitting in Sunday school, drawing pictures of giant whales while sipping red Kool-Aid and eating graham crackers. The theme that was shared in Sunday school children for at least 100 years was, you better do what God wants you to, or you will end up in the stomach of a giant fish. If you're sorry enough for not doing what God said, you will most likely be spit out of the belly of the giant fish, always depicted as a whale, and given the opportunity to finally get it right. Scaring children into being good Christians is not a good idea. In this day and age, it even has the opposite effect. It scares them out of church. And more importantly, the story of Jonah and the people of Nineveh is a deep reflection on the nature of human beings and the nature of God. So to recap, what we discover about the nature of human beings and the nature of God from Jonah is that God is relentless in a good way. Jonah is a prophet, someone who is called to speak on God's behalf. Jonah is now, in our time, referred to as a lesser prophet, which I'm sure would singe him if he knew that. God tells Jonah that there is a problem with the people of Nineveh. As we'd say here in the South, they are not acting right. God tells Jonah that Jonah needs to go to Nineveh and speak to the good folks of Nineveh and remind them what they should be doing and not doing. Jonah wants nothing to do with the Ninevites. He could not care less that they are not acting right. Everybody knows that those people are no good, just trouble. He wants no part of this, so he runs away, or at least tries to, and this is where the whale part comes in. Jonah gets on a boat, going the opposite direction of Nineveh. And lo and behold, the waters begin to churn, and the boat begins to rock, and things are getting really bad. The sailors on the boat start questioning the nature of the problem. And rather than thinking about things like ninos or squalls, they wonder who has made the gods, little g, mad. Jonah confesses that he has made God, big G, mad, and this whole issue with the sea surges and near capsizing of the boat is his fault. The sailors throw Jonah off the boat, down into the deep, dark sea. He would surely drown, but they would be safe with him off the boat. And Jonah, in this moment, was actually brave. He confessed his responsibility and was thrown into the sea to face certain death, but God would have none of that. He sent a rescuer. Not a particularly pleasant rescuer. God was not happy with Jonah, but God did not desert Jonah. He sent a giant sea creature to swallow Jonah and keep him safe for 3 days, giving Jonah just the time he needed to rethink his prior action. Jonah then prays. God listens, and the fish spits Jonah out on dry land. Then God speaks to Jonah again and tells him to go to Nineveh. And naturally, this time, Jonah goes, wouldn't you? Jonah goes to Nineveh and tells the folks that they need to repent, they need to turn around, stop acting wrong, and remember how God wants them to be. And lo and behold, they do. They actually do. They all put on sackcloth and ashes, even the animals. We have to wonder what the animals had been up to that they needed to repent of. But we don't have that information. The folks from top to bottom stop acting badly and return to living the way God wants them to. And if this were the parable of the prodigal son, we'd be having a feast and a great celebration. But that's about God and not about us. And this story is mostly about us. So instead of Jonah having a huge party, passing out cigars and brandy, and patting all the Ninevites on the back in congratulations for getting it, instead of doing that, Jonah gets mad. He gets really mad. Because Jonah doesn't like the Ninevites. They've always been no good, troublemakers, the worst of the worst. Nineveh is sin city, and they're the ultimate sinners. How can they just turn around like that? It's just for show. They're just trying to act like they're going to turn around, but they're really not. They're just trying to get away from God so he won't smite them. I had to spend 3 days in the stomach of a disgusting creature. They should have to suffer at least as much as I did. And really, they should have to suffer more. Jonah does not keep his displeasure to himself. He tells God how disappointed he is in this outcome. Jonah says, "I knew this would happen, and this is why I left. I knew you were slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and I didn't want to be a part of that. I hate the Ninevites with the hatred of the psalmist. So just go ahead and kill me," Jonah says. Jonah here is a bit like a dramatic teenager. Having had his say, he slinks to the edge of town, builds a booth, and waits to see if he has convinced God that he was right and Nineveh is not worth saving, even though they've done what God asked. God, true to form, as Jonah said, is still slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And as a bush should grow to shade Jonah, Jonah, we hear, is happy about the bush. Then the next day the bush is gone, and Jonah is furious. He was happy, now he's angry. As long as things go Jonah's way, he's happy, and all is right with him and God. But when there's the least bit of discomfort, he is so angry that he wants to die. God uses this whole exchange as an opportunity to remind Jonah about the nature of God. He sees Jonah in his totally self-absorbed state, thinking that his own comfort and happiness is the biggest concern of the day. And God comes to him and God says, "Jonah, you were happy about that bush that was a gift to you. And you were happy, unhappy, when the gift was no longer present. If you are so concerned about something like the bush that you had no responsibility for, why should I not be concerned with a city that I created that is full of people and animals?" And unfortunately, that's the end of what we know about the Jonah story. We might wonder if Jonah finally got it. Did he ever really know in his heart of hearts that God truly is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, even for Jonah? Did he ever fully realize that God wanted good not only for Nineveh, but also for Jonah? Or did he continue to think that God operated according to human standards? Jonah is the story of us, of all of us. When things go well and we are happy with the world and with God, we believe then that we are the favored ones, and we are, but not just when everything is going according to our plan. There is a bigger plan that includes people that we may not like. As Isaiah reminds us, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways," says the Lord. And that is really good news. We can run, we can be angry, we can pout and display all sorts of human reactions and emotions, but God can handle anything we dish out. And God will still be there, urging us to live into his ways and reminding us that we are all worth working for. Even Jonah, even the Ninevites, even the animals, even you, even me, even the whole world. Amen.